To a layperson, Penrose's objection to inflationary theories seems entirely cogent. Although there are technical considerations brought up by skeptical cosmologists, he makes a second point that is subtler. Let's say we accept that life on Earth is so unique that the early universe had to pave the way through special conditions. Let's even accept that there were special conditions emerging when the cosmos was superheated and infinitesimally small. What about the rest of the vast universe? Life evolved on our planet regardless of what was happening in billions of other galaxies. We didn't need them. So how could the universe be set up to aid our evolution, if that is indeed true, while everywhere else doesn't look special at all? It's far more likely, Penrose declares, that the conditions for life on Earth became special later on. Perhaps it was only a matter of random chance. The less improbable explanation is the one science must choose. Recently, astronomers have somewhat undercut Penrose's objection with the discovery of thousands of stars with planetary systems. Some of these stars are enough like the Sun that they could foster life on planets similar to life on this one. Great excitement followed the news that we are probably not alone in the universe. However, the good mood fades when it's pointed out that probably doesn't actually explain how life evolved from lifeless chemicals. The odds could be so long, millions and millions to one, that even a multitude of suns in faraway galaxies aren't enough to find the magic key to life. The objection can't be refuted. On the other hand, it can't be proven either. But as soon as you start talking about odds and probabilities, you are assuming that life evolved randomly, and specialness has taken a severe blow. An ingenious information theory. Or maybe not. When a theory has been as successful as the Big Bang in explaining how the universe evolved, posing objections is tricky. You may simply be pointing out glitches that can be patched up. Surely it would take a lethal blow to knock down the entire structure built up so carefully since the 1970s. But Penrose's argument about the second law of thermodynamics is so basic that it could topple the whole house of cards. The problem of cosmic inflation is that it did not emerge on its own as a natural evolution in scientific theories, but rather was put together to account for some baffling mysteries of the older Big Bang cosmology. Inflation is well supported by sensitive measurements. Its main thrust is to rescue the early universe from apparent chaos. But we need a source of orderliness that is more sophisticated than a bingo machine tossing out numbers at random. Noted American cosmologist Lee Smolin has proposed some intriguing ideas about the geometry of the Planck era that could save it from pure chaos. Perhaps something immaterial was the source of orderliness, even if there was only chaos at the physical level during that time. Penrose and Smolin nominate information as the key ingredient. This seems like an intriguing thread to follow, because other physicists have theorized that when all matter and energy is sucked into a black hole and annihilated, information manages to survive. Proving this is very difficult, or even impossible, since the interior of a black hole is impenetrable. But it's an intriguing way to sidestep the heat death of entropy. What if information isn't disturbed even under the most extreme physical conditions? Ones and zeros can't freeze to death or be reduced to ashes in a fire. Perhaps the pre-created state was rich with information that was immune to the second law applying at the moment of the Big Bang. By analogy, the information you carry around in your mind can survive all kinds of physical threats. One piece of information is your name. Once you know your name, it doesn't matter if you travel to the steaming tropics or the South Pole, as heat and cold don't cause your name to freeze or boil over. Your name isn't affected if you descend to the bottom of Death Valley or climb Mount Everest. Generally, only death or extreme brain trauma could deprive us of this intimate bit of information, The same is true for much more complex things, since the storage capacity of the human mind is vast. And in some rare cases, people have awakened from deep comas lasting years, recovered memories, and resumed their lives. The survival of information in humans makes a cyclic universe seem like a real possibility. If a previous universe gave birth to ours, perhaps the constants and the laws of nature could be passed on in the form of information, especially mathematical. Since some fundamental mathematics must be involved, yet this way of thinking avoids calling mathematics a physical property. In Smolin's model, passing the cosmic baton occurs when new eons emerge from black hole singularities. An eon would be a cosmic unit of time. A singularity is the tiny speck left when everything has been sucked into a black hole. Theoretically, such a speck is singular because it hasn't disgorged the things that create differences: space, time, matter, and energy. There's no solid evidence that singularities actually exist, even though they are mathematically plausible. The notion is that the universe will ultimately collapse into a single point, a singularity, into which matter, energy, the forces of nature, and space-time vanish, only to reemerge through a new singularity. In other words, the Big Bang was preceded by the Big Crunch. We don't know enough about black holes to say how information could survive them when nothing else does, and singularity remains a theoretical construct only. As it stands, then, claiming that information wasn't destroyed in the early cosmic cauldron seems like another hat trick. One way or another, whatever is happening inside a black hole is just as unreachable as the Planck era at the beginning of the universe. The same impenetrable wall blocks our sight.